Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Today we consider the Word of God in the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 26, as follows. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded that the chariot stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior in whom we believe and whose name we proclaim to others, dear fellow redeemed. Some events that take place in life are so astonishingly unlikely as to be almost unbelievable, and yet they happen. On September 6, 2009, the Bulgarian National Lottery posted as its winning lottery numbers the following six numbers, 4, 15, 23, 24, 35, and 42. Nothing particularly unusual about those numbers. Two of them are consecutive, but that happens from time to time. What is surprising about them is what happened the following week when the lottery selected as the winning numbers the exact same six numbers, 4, 15, 23, 24, 35, and 42. As you can imagine, there was an immediate public outcry. Corruption was suspected. So they carried out a complete investigation and in the end found out that it was just what it appeared to be, a coincidence, albeit a astronomically unlikely one. But incredibly unlikely things seem to happen with regularity in our world. As Christians, however, we don't expect our evangelism to be one of them. You know what I mean, our outreach, the way we reach out to others with the gospel and share our faith with them. We all know we're supposed to do it. We all want to do it. But I think we get a wrong idea in our heads somehow that our personal outreach is always going to follow some conventional, predictable pattern. Well, our text for today proves that's not so. It demonstrates to us that the only thing predictable about witnessing Christ is that nothing will be predictable about it. That's why our theme for today is a most unlikely evangelism. The Holy Spirit sends you to the most unlikely places, the most unlikely people, with a totally unlikely message, often producing astonishing results. Personal evangelism is part skill and part art. It's taught by the Holy Spirit in the school of experience. Some of you have been doing it for a long time and have become rather good at it. Some of you may be just starting out. The first thing you find out about sharing the gospel is that the Holy Spirit very often sends you to completely unlikely places. Philip was one of the early evangelists who were scattered throughout the ancient Near East when the Christian church in Jerusalem came under persecution. Well, Philip had been working and preaching in Samaria, the region north of Jerusalem where the Samaritans live. And that by itself was unlikely enough, for as you know, Jews like Philip normally had absolutely nothing to do with the Samaritan people. But now the Holy Spirit gave him what must have seemed like an even more unlikely assignment. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then the interesting comment, "This is desert." We're simply told in the text that Philip arose and went. And it could be that he got up immediately and went to carry out his assignment without another thought in his head. I wonder about that, though. I wonder by this time if Philip might not have become a little bit exasperated. I wonder if he might have said in his mind, "Now what? Samaria isn't an unlikely enough place for me to evangelize with the gospel. Now you're sending me out in the middle of the desert? This is desert." And you may find yourself feeling the same thing about the personal outreach that the Holy Ghost sends you to do in your life. This is desert. The moral and spiritual wasteland that is the United States in 2015 is a tough place to proclaim the gospel in. You may be thinking, how can I possibly share the gospel here where I live and where I work, my place of business and my leisure time? How can I possibly share the gospel here? It's just really unlikely that I'm ever going to find opportunity to tell people about Jesus here. This is desert. But ours is the most likely, a most unlikely evangelism. One thing you can be certain about, and that is that if you find yourself someplace, God put you there, and God wants you to propagate the gospel where you are. He has work for you to do. Like Philip, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit has in fact lined up all the things He wants you to do, all ready and prepared for you to carry them out. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And here's something else. God not only sends us to the most unlikely places, He very often sends us to people who, in our mind at least, are the least likely people to be evangelized with the gospel. Who did He send Philip to? A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. A eunuch of great authority indicates a very high official in the court of Queen Candace, queen of Ethiopia. So that means she was a VIP. But he was a black man, an African. And how strange do you think that was for Philip? Philip had probably just barely gotten used to the idea of preaching the gospel to people who weren't Jewish like him, and now the Holy Spirit sends him to this complete foreigner. It must have seemed a most unlikely person for him to evangelize. But he shouldn't have been surprised, and neither should you and I, for ours is the most unlikely evangelism. The Holy Spirit often sends us to the most unlikely people. People whom it would never have occurred to us to go on our own. People who seem like the last possible person to be a recipient of the gospel. Could be the person you're sitting next to on a plane. Person who bags your groceries at the store. Person who sits across the aisle from you at work. You just don't know. And really, in the end, it doesn't matter very much, does it? One Christian writer said, "Of those whom we know nothing else, we do know this, that they have souls." They have souls. All the people you meet in the course of your daily life, they all have souls. They're all people for whom Christ died. They're all candidates for the gospel. Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit to an unlikely place and an unlikely person. But strangest of all, perhaps, was the content of the message Philip was sent to proclaim. Philip's and ours is the most unlikely evangelism. Thirdly, because the content of our preaching is a very unlikely message. Philip heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." The Ethiopian had gotten hold of a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He had just come from the city of Jerusalem where he had been worshiping, which means he was probably what was known as a proselyte of the gate, or a foreigner who has come to faith and been converted to Judaism. He had evidently purchased the scroll of Isaiah, and he was poring over it as he traveled along in the chariot, trying to figure out what these words meant. The passage he was reading came from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. How strange that must have seemed to him. How completely unlikely. Because everyone knows the kings of this world are proud and they're ruthless. So what could the prophet be speaking about when he describes a sheep going meekly and silently to the slaughter? What sort of strange religion was this? I wonder if you've ever visited a slaughterhouse. Necessary as they are, there's something rather chilling and dreadful about the whole process of turning livestock into food. On one side of the factory are pens that are full of healthy and active livestock, and on the other side are trucks hauling away the processed meat. It's a necessary process, of course, but it's still rather chilling. It's inevitable and relentless. Once the animals meekly start down that last chute toward the slaughterhouse, there's no going back, and there's no question about what's going to happen to them. My fellow Christians, I would submit to you that this is exactly the condition we sinful human beings find ourselves in by nature. The Bible says that all I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Left to ourselves, we, like all human beings, are headed down that inevitable path to eternal destruction and hell, the just punishment for those who sin against God. But then, something totally unlikely happened. And this was the message that God sent to the Ethiopian through Philip that day. Beginning with the very passage he was reading at that moment, Philip told him about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He shared with him the incredible good news, the wonderful, totally unlikely message that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He shared with the Ethiopian the same message I'm sharing with you right now. Paul says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Yet God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The message Philip preached that day was of the Lamb of God who willingly went down the path to the slaughterhouse in our place, instead of us. God, in his grace and mercy, sent his Son down that last path instead. He was the Lamb who died for us. He died to redeem us. What parent would sacrifice his own child in order to save someone else? Someone, in fact, who was their enemy. But that's exactly what God did for us. It certainly is an unlikely evangelism, but that's exactly the message God sent with Philip for the Ethiopian. It's the message God sends you out into the world with as well. You are to proclaim to others the same blessed message by which you yourself have been saved. That salvation is available through faith in Jesus Christ. That he is the substitution for sinners. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He gave him that message, Philip did, and the Holy Spirit worked through the message. He brought faith into the Ethiopian's heart. Like the text says, all Philip had to do was open his mouth and speak. In fact, someone wisely remarked that Philip really didn't have a whole lot to do that day. The Holy Spirit did most of the work. The Holy Spirit was the one who gave Philip the opportunity. He sent Philip out there. He gave him the message that he was to proclaim. Philip just had to say it. That's your job too. And it's not very complicated. It's as simple as Jesus' instructions to that man he had healed, you recall, in Luke chapter 8. Go and tell what great things God has done for you. You may be thinking, well, I'm just one person. What can I accomplish? By yourself, nothing. But with the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word, there's nothing that can't be accomplished. Unlikely as it may seem, you too may very soon find your gospel that you proclaim producing astonishing results. Someone pointed out that by this time that chariot was getting a little bit crowded. Because not only did it contain the Ethiopian Philip, now also riding along were the Holy Spirit, the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus himself. The Ethiopian heard the message about Jesus, and he believed it. The Holy Spirit worked faith in his heart through the word that was spoken by Philip. When they came to some water, the Ethiopian said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is about the most unlikely candidate for conversion to the Christian faith that you could ever imagine. And yet ours is an unlikely evangelism. So we shouldn't be surprised when it brings astonishing results. When you speak the gospel to people, you better stand back because miracles are likely to happen. To this day, I still find myself astonished by the people of my acquaintance who I thought were the least likely people to ever become believers in Christ, who nevertheless, by the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's Word, did just that. You may be thinking of people yourself in your own experience who became believers against all the odds. And by the way, we see once again in this text that the Holy Spirit always does His work through the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. It was the word of God that the Ethiopian read in his scroll and that Philip preached to him that helped the Holy Spirit put faith into his heart. And it was the sacrament of holy baptism that sealed and secured him to the kingdom of Christ. Unlikely message, astonishing results. And did you notice when Philip left him? What's the last thing we hear about the Ethiopian? He went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. We can understand that part, can't we? When you drive out of the church parking lot this morning, I fully expect you too to go on your way rejoicing. If you're not, it means you weren't paying very close attention. For this good news is also for you. You too have been delivered from death, hell, and eternal destruction, just as that Ethiopian man was. In another passage a little later on in Isaiah, we hear the prophet describing the blessed state of redeemed believers just like you when he says, "You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Speaking of things that are unlikely, horse racing is a sport that lives and dies by likelihoods, better known as odds, of course. In the history of horse racing, it'd be hard to find a more unlikely hero than Donerail. Donerail was a bay colt who came to the gate of the 1913 Kentucky Derby with the ridiculously long odds of 91-1. Most racing insiders thought Donerail shouldn't have even been in that race in the first place. But unlikely as it was, Donerail won by a length and a half. If you had been the person with the foresight to put $1,000 on Donerail that day to win, you'd have walked home with the astonishing amount of $100,000. Wouldn't it be great to have known about that ahead of time? Well, I would submit to you that that is our situation as believers. We know about the bonanza ahead of time. We're involved in a venture even less likely than that, with even longer odds, but whose results we know ahead of time are guaranteed. Our personal evangelism is a most unlikely evangelism. You'll find the Holy Spirit sending you to the most unlikely places and the most unlikely people with a message that is incredibly unlikely, the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But that's where the unlikelihood stops. For where that gospel is preached, by pastors in the pulpit, by neighbors over the back fence, by workers talking at the break table at work, wherever that gospel is preached, there God will accomplish his results. And those results may often be absolutely astonishing. God grant that it may be so in our lives. Amen.